Let us turn again to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I ended my message last time with verses 38 and 39, in which the Lord Jesus Christ told four of his disciples that they must go into other towns, that is, other towns in Galilee, as well as he had preached in Capernaum, he must preach in those other places as well. I want us to look back to verses 14 and 15 and see again what it was that the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching. Notice in verse 14, and notice it was after John was put into prison that the Lord Jesus Christ began preaching. He began his public ministry of preaching. And let's see, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, a religious Jew, a Pharisee, that a man must be born again in order to see or to enter in to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Jewish leaders, teachers of that day and before, had taught that the people of God should expect a Messiah who would set up an earthly Jewish kingdom. The kingdom of God, the gospel that our Lord Jesus Christ preached, is a spiritual kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. They had been taught to look for a material kingdom, the Messiah to set up his throne in Jerusalem, and the nation of Israel all of a sudden to be head over all the other nations. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The kingdom of God is within you." The Apostle Paul, he defined, and this is a inspired definition of the kingdom of God. Many people today are mistaken and deceived and believing and looking forward to some future Jewish kingdom. The kingdom of God, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. When David was anointed king, they came together and they ate and they drank. And David, he gave out meat, a good portion of meat to all the people and a loaf of bread and a flagon of wine. That's when that kingdom was established with David, the throne of David. But Paul says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is rather righteousness. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kingdom of God, and this is the message. The gospel of the kingdom of God is what the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. I want you to hold your places here, of course, but look over into Acts, the very last chapter of Acts, the last historical fact that we know about the Apostle Paul. An inspired historical fact in Acts chapter 28 and verses 30 and 31, the very last two verses of Acts. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now notice, what was Paul preaching? Well, let me remind you that Paul in 1 Corinthians said the Jews seek a sign, the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ. And then in the next chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the gospel. The gospel is what Paul was preaching, the kingdom of God. Notice that in verse 28. "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So back in our text now, I felt it good to remind us that when the Lord Jesus Christ told his 4 disciples, we must go into other cities and preach to them, that we be reminded of what he was preaching. He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is at hand. He came preaching the gospel. That's what he was preaching. That's what he went forth preaching. Now, in the passage we're looking at this morning, we're not told where. Josephus, the Jewish historian, he told of how many, more than 100 villages and towns were in Galilee, but we don't know for certain how many there were. And we certainly do not know where this took place, this that we're reading about this morning. While preaching the gospel in Galilee, at some place, at one time, the leper was cleansed. And that's the passage of Scripture we're looking at today. Verse number 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." I have 3 points to my message today. First, the leper, verse 40. "And there came a leper to him." What does that mean? What does it mean when we read, "There came a leper to him"? Does being called a leper signify his nationality? Like we might say, "There came to him a Jew," or "There came to him a European," or "There came to him an African," or "There came to him a North American." Is that what this means? Of course not. We know that's not what it means. It means that there came to him a man who was identified by this disease. There came to him a leper. There came to him a man who was identified by this one particular disease. Now, in the days of Christ, when he was here in the flesh, as today, there are many, many different kinds of diseases that are afflictions of men, all brought into God's creation by sin. We recognize that. But the disease of leprosy was somewhat different. Because in the law that God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai, that old covenant law, leprosy was singled out as a picture of moral uncleanness. In other words, leprosy was a type of sin. It was incurable. As far as medicine was concerned in that day, it was an incurable disease. It was singular. We never read a diabetic came to him. We never read a cancer patient came to him. But a leper, this disease, what I'm pointing out is this disease was different from every other disease in the law that God gave unto the nation of Israel, because it was a type, it was a picture of sin, moral uncleanness. It was incurable. And we know that it caused separation. When a man or a woman, for that matter, had leprosy, when they were diagnosed with leprosy, and who diagnosed them? The priest did. In the law, and there's two chapters in Leviticus, two long chapters, I might say, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, which deal with the subject of leprosy. A man wasn't, if he thought he had leprosy, he wasn't sent to a doctor. He was sent to a priest. And the priest would determine if it were leprosy or not with which he was afflicted. He was sent to a priest. The disease was incurable. It caused separation. If the priest said, yes, that's leprosy. Or maybe he said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's leprosy, but just to be on the safe side, just to obey the word of God, get out of the camp. Separate yourself and come back in, I think it was 7 days, and we'll look again. We'll make a determination then. And when a man was determined to have leprosy, he was put out of the camp. He was separated from his family, separated from his friends, and more than that, my friends, he was separated from the congregation of the Lord. He was separated from the place that God had ordained for men to come together to worship him, that is, in the tabernacle. He was put out. He was separated. It rendered a person not sick. The priest didn't say, you're sick. He said, you're unclean. You're unclean. It's leprosy. You're unclean. What a picture. What a type of sin is leprosy. When you stop and think about it, you see, this man was identified by his disease. A leper came to him. We too are identified. All men are identified by sin. We all are sinners. We're identified by sin. We are sinners. Just as leprosy was incurable, so sin is incurable to man's remedies. Men have thought that education would solve the problem. And so men have been educated. And thank God for education, right? But education doesn't solve the sin problem. Evolution. Men have been taught that evolution, That's the remedy. That's going to do the job. As men continue to evolve, we will get better and better, and the world will get better and better. Oh, no, that doesn't solve the problem. Just as leprosy was incurable to men of that day, so sin is an incurable disease. And sin separates. It separates. Separates man from God. Your iniquities, the scripture says, have separated you from God. Just as soon as Adam and Eve disobeyed God, what happened? God drove them out of the garden. He told them, told Adam, when you eat, when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in dying thou shalt die. And he was put out. I remember reading many years ago of a class of young children. They had taught on that chapter, I believe, and they assigned the little children to draw a picture of what they had learned. And this one little girl, she drove a picture of a car and a person in the car, several people in the car, and the teacher was bewildered, and she said, "What? How did you get that?" "Because he drove them out." He drove them out of the garden. Oh, no. Sin separates. It separated men from God. And let me say this, too. Sin makes us unclean before God. We could go into more detail and describe leprosy, the sickness of leprosy, the disease. It's an awful disease. Actually, the body begins to just rot, if I could use that term, just rot off. The nose, fingers, the toes, very awful, awful disease. If we could see sin like God sees it, how awful, how very awful is sin in the sight of a holy God. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Now let's look at the second thing. When I think about sin as incurable, I think about the words of Job. He said, "If I wash myself with snow water," evidently snow, water, the snow turned to water. Men were of the opinion that's the cleanest, that's the purest water. Came down from the tops of Lebanon into the land of Israel, into the land of Canaan. But Job said, "If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands ever so clean." But you see, you can make your hands clean, but the problem's on the inside, isn't it? The heart. "If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me." Sin renders men unclean before God. But before we look at Christ, let's look at Mark, at what he tells us about this leper coming to Christ. First, we read, "And there came a leper to him." He came to him. He broke through the barriers. Now, this was against the Levitical law. You remember a leper, he had to put his hand above his lip and cry out unclean when he came close to anyone who was not a leper. But this man, somehow, he broke through the barriers. He had heard of Christ. I'm convinced of that. He had heard of Christ. He had heard that he had healed and restored others and cast out demons. And so he broke through the barrier. He had to get to him. It wasn't just getting to the house, if our Lord was in a house. It wasn't just getting in the proximity of him. No, he had to get to him. He had to come to him. That's the first thing we are told. He came to him. The second thing is he asked of him. He asked cleansing. Have you ever asked the Lord to save you? The Scripture says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Man, this man had heard. This man had heard, and he came, and he asked. He asked for cleansing. You know, we saw the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That old dispensation of the law. The law is so different from the gospel, isn't it? The gospel was pictured in that law. There's no doubt about that. But the law says, go. The gospel says, come. Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel says, do. The law says, do. Go and do. Gospel says, come, it's finished. The work's finished. Yeah. It's finished. The third thing, he came to him, he asked of him, and he worshiped him. The Scripture says he came kneeling. He kneeled down, worshiping the Lord. And then the fourth thing, he confessed the Lord's sovereign prerogative. He didn't doubt that the Lord had the power. He knew that. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. Thou canst. He believed he had the power, but he submitted to his sovereign prerogative. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And immediately the Scripture says, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I wilt. Be thou clean. Do you think, this morning, stop and think about this. Do you think that any sinner, no matter how wicked, how sinful, how evil, what a depraved life a person has lived, or how good a life a person has lived. Do you believe that any sinner has ever come to Christ like this man came and found him not to be willing to save? If a person tells you, well, I asked the Lord to save me, but he didn't save me, that cannot be, my friend. Not if you come like this man. Not if a person comes like this man. I will. Be thou clean. Now, as we look at the second point, the Christ. Let me point out four things quickly here. Christ, the first thing, he was moved with compassion. Now, this word means to be moved from within. If we were speaking today, we would say his heart was moved. The Hebrews, they use the term bowels. His bowels, his inwards were moved to have pity. The Lord Jesus Christ was moved from within, had compassion upon him. And then secondly, Christ touched him. Now he touched him with a touch, which according to the Levitical law of leprosy, was a touch of defilement. In the same way, as Charles Spurgeon said, was Christ made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This touch, when the Lord Jesus Christ touched this man, according to the Levitical law, that was a touch of defilement. But when the Lord touched him, it didn't change who he was. He was still the same holy Son of God. And when he was made to be sin for us, it didn't change. He didn't become inherently sinful. Our sins, the Bible is very clear that tell us that our sins were laid upon him. They were put upon him. He was not somehow turned into sin. Our sins were imputed unto him. But he himself became, or he himself continued that holy, harmless Son of God, separate from sinners that he always was. In him was no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And that has to be so for that sacrifice to be accepted. His sacrifice. For his sacrifice, his blood to be accepted and put away the sins of his people, it had to be infinitely holy. The third thing, Christ was willing to cleanse him. I will. Be thou clean. Isn't it wonderful this morning? Listen, believer, isn't it wonderful today? Wonderful. Doesn't it make your heart rejoice today that Christ is not only an able Savior, but he's a willing Savior. He's willing. He's willing. He's a just God and a Savior. And then fourth, Christ cleansing him was immediate. Here's that word again, immediately. As I mentioned several weeks back, that's one of Mark's favorite words, is immediately, the scripture says, the leprosy departed from him and he was clean. As soon as he had spoken, notice immediately, verse 42, immediately the leprosy departed from him. It's gone. He came to him a leper, and the Lord touched him, and immediately the disease, the leprosy was gone. Immediately, it was gone. He was clean. You never read of a leper being healed. A leper was cleansed. That happened immediately in this case. There's a hymn that I've heard sung as a special. I had it on a CD recently. I love this hymn. He touched me. You familiar with that hymn? He touched me. It goes like this: shackled by heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. This man immediately, he could have sung that hymn, couldn't he? He touched me. And even this morning while we're sitting here thinking about this, where is he at? While eternity rolls. He's with the Savior, isn't he? He's with the Savior. And he hasn't stopped praising him. And he never will. One day you and I, by God's grace, will be there with him. And we'll be singing the same praise. All the glory. and all the praise belongs unto him. Now, I want to close. I want us to look at the charge in verses 43 and 45. The Lord Jesus Christ, the charge that he gave this man. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Now, I want you to notice the charge here, verse 44. He saith unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing. Hey, we just read he was cleansed. We just read immediately when the Lord touched him, he was clean. And he was. And he was. Now the Lord sends him to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now here's my point, that word for. The Lord did not send this man to the priest to be cleansed of his leprosy. He was already clean. He was already clean. You see, there was a ceremony, and let me just briefly run through it. There were two birds, hyssop, cedar, and scarlet, and water. And one bird was slain, and his blood was caught in the bowl with the water, running water. And the cedar and the scarlet was put in there, and hyssop. And I assume with the hyssop, the priest would take and he would sprinkle that leper who was clean. He was already clean. He didn't come to be cleansed. He was already clean. You didn't go through this ceremony until the priest said, he's clean. He's clean. Sprinkle him seven times, then they dipped the live bird down into that mixture and set him free. The Lord sent this man not to be cleansed of his leprosy. He's already clean, but for a testimony to them. And the reason I'm trying to make this point, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and I'll close. In Acts chapter 2, in verses 37 and 38, let me read verse 37. Now, when they heard this, that is, they heard the message of Peter and the other 11 disciples, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is the day of Pentecost. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, notice, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter's not saying by your baptism, your sins are going to be remitted. No more than the Lord Jesus Christ told this leper that for that ceremony, he was going to be cleansed. These men their sins were put away when they repented. Repent, that's what he said. And then be baptized for, as a testimony, as an obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his command to be baptized. But some people have taken that and they've said, well, you see, baptism, you have to be baptized to have your sins put away. Well, if that's true, think about all of those Old Testament saints. They were not baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That thief on the cross. And let me tell you something. There's no telling how many people, we'll never know until eternity, have looked to Christ in the very last moments of their life and found mercy. Found mercy. They weren't baptized, but they look to Christ. And salvation is not in water. You see, men always want to put something between the sinner and the Savior. some man, some ordinance, some ceremony, whatever it might be. No, a person must come to Him, must trust in Him, must do business with Him. If a person puts themselves between you and the Savior, that's not going to help you at all. Everyone that is a help to a sinner will do the same thing. Look to Him and be saved. Look to Him. Well, I pray the Lord would bless this message to all of us. I want us to sing this hymn, number 287, Like a River Glorious. Now, I'm going to tell this group, this is group A this morning, what I told